Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Dallas County Jail Blues by Gene Autry, in tribute to where it felt like the Mavericks put the Grizzlies the last two times they met.
Yeah, it's not been pretty. Weekend did start with a nice win over Denver when Jokic was great and Ja was greater. You covered that game. What is one? We wondered if there would be a win on this road trip. Nice to get the win on the road trip, and Ja was sensational, right?
Yeah, I mean, they avoided worst case scenario, which being down literally half your rotation on a 4-game road trip, all against, you know, decent to good teams. Like, you know, they're, you know, 0-4 was definitely, there was possibility of that. So they avoided that, getting the win in Denver. So the worst case scenario has been avoided. You know, that was a really good win for the Grizzlies. I mean, Ja has really, you know, taken on this extra burden. He's averaging something like 35 points a game on this trip with all of these guys out. But that was a good win. Definitely.
And DeAnthony Melton was key. Yes, you're ready to trade him, though. I noticed. I listened to your podcast with Hollinger. I'm going to get to the trade in a moment. Thoughts on DeAnthony Melton?
He had a good game. I mean, he did not have a good game sandwiched around that one game on the trip. But I mean, they need guys to step up other than John Morant and against Milwaukee, where they almost pulled it out. It was Jaren that had a huge game against Denver. Jaren was good too against Denver, but it was really Melton that gave them the boost off the bench in terms of another perimeter guy. They did not get it last night in Dallas from anybody.
Yeah, they got it. They got it from nobody. All right, and so that gets us to Dallas. And there's a couple of things with Dallas. Dallas is now, they've played them four times. They're 3-1. The last two decisive losses to the Mavs. Dallas is 3-1 leads in these four games. All four games, they have held the Grizzlies under 100 points. And Dallas is relevant because, A, they seem the team most likely to catch the Grizzlies for fourth, but then even if they don't, you can absolutely imagine a matchup between Dallas in the first round of the playoffs, whether the Grizzlies are 4 and the Mavs are 5, or the Mavs are 4 and the Grizzlies are 5, and by all accounts, it looks excruciating.
Yeah, I think, and I may write about this today if I can find the time, but to me, the meaning goes beyond just the specific matchup with Dallas. Who, you're right, I mean, they're a team chasing you. You don't have to play them again in the regular season,
right?
But they're a team chasing you for seeding and division title, if you care about that, which I kind of do. And there's definitely a real chance of a first-round playoff matchup, which does not look appetizing. But there's a level to which I think the Dallas games could be somewhat of an avatar for playoff basketball because the games are so much slower, because there's more. It's more defensive oriented, more half court oriented, slower, and because you know there's so much more focus on funneling things through, you know, your star player, which is sort of how they play. They sort of play a little bit more of a playoff basketball kind of style, and so that may present, you know, I don't know if lessons is the right word, too strong a word. It may be something worth thinking about relative to the Grizzlies, even if that's not the team you're playing, in the sense of the kind of style that the games may shift towards a little bit.
We can also, though, overstate the meaning of Dallas's lead, like the last two games, because Grizzlies missing half their roster last night. And then the previous loss, it was at the end of whatever it was, 8 games and 12, whatever the heck it was. Like the Grizzlies clearly ran out of steam in that one. How much do you think the 4 games that they've played are indicative of what a, you know, let's assume good health on the part of both franchises, what that would look like?
Well, if you're talking about a specific matchup with Dallas, I think that Dallas has qualities that are, even at full strength, or, you know, I think are troubling to the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies' strength this season has been about forcing turnovers and getting in transition, scoring in transition, scoring in the paint. Dallas is a low turnover team. They're a really big team defensively, which makes it harder. A, because they don't turn the ball over and they play a slow pace, it's harder to get out in transition. B, because they're so big, it's harder to score, to get to the rim and to score in the paint. And the best counter for that is probably being able to shoot well in half-court basketball, and I think that's sort of a red flag a little bit for the Grizzlies. Though that may be better. You get Desmond Bain, you get Dylan Brooks back. You know, the Grizzlies have not been a good three-point shooting team on the season, but they also haven't, like, had all the pieces going at the same time they could potentially have, relative to Bain, relative to Jaren breaking out, relative to Dylan Brooks. And so, I mean, there's an upside there relative to half-court basketball. And I think Dylan Brooks is someone who I think you might find out means a lot more to you in the playoffs than in the regular season. But I think Dallas has qualities that you know, if you're going to guess what qualities might trouble the Grizzlies in the playoffs, I think Dallas has a lot of those qualities.
In terms of the larger point, that it could be revealing because they look more like what playoff basketball tends to look like. Listening to your podcast with John Hollinger, people can find it over at the Daily Memphian or wherever they find their podcasts. But Chris had John Hollinger on last week talking about a whole variety of things. And one of the things you asked John whether he takes the Grizzlies seriously as a contender, like right now. And he said, seriously, sure, but definitely a cut below the best teams in the West. And one of the points he made was that a lot of the Grizzlies' success seems to be based on their bench, and that, you know, players 8 through 12 don't matter much in the playoffs. And the Grizzlies are thriving partly because they do so well with those players. Did that resonate with you? Does that make sense? And suggesting that the Grizzlies' best six aren't as good as the other team's best six in the West.
Yeah, I mean, I think those two things are not necessarily the same thing. The bench thing is just not, it's not been that big of an issue for me relative to thinking about them in the playoffs. I think the Grizzlies' success has been driven by John Morant, has been driven by Desmond Bane, has been driven by a lot of these guys. I do think stylistically, I wonder about, you know, transitioning to the playoff style of basketball a little bit in terms of the slower pacing stuff. And I wonder about the shooting and the shot creation outside of what Ja Morant has to create. And so, you know, I mean, I the Grizzlies historically are always like, you could use another shooter. I mean, that's always been the case, and that'll maybe always will be the case. But I do think, and this I may write about this too, in connection with the Dallas, and I sort of already have. If you want to get into the mountain stuff, it's basically the same subject. But, you know, I think they could use someone, another player, even if it's off the bench, who can knock down shots and create shots against the half-court defense. And I think if you go into the playoffs with, you know, your second unit, even if you shrink it down, you're still looking at, you know, Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, and either Melton or Zaire Williams or Conchar, like even if you have Bane and Dylan Brooks back, like one of those three players is your third wing or Kyle Anderson, there's not a reliable shooter shot creator in that group.
Right. Well, that gets us to the trade talk. You, as part of your podcast, you had a conversation with John Hollinger about possible trades, and everyone acknowledged, like, great to get Jaylen Brown. That would be fabulous. But in terms of trades that you could actually accomplish, there's a need for a 3-4 player who can make shots that might possibly be something that they could go after, although the price might be too high. But then you proposed a trade to John Hollinger that would solve this other need that you're talking about, or might address this other need you're talking about, involving Eric Gordon from the Rockets. What would that trade look like?
Yeah, I mean, I had written about that 2 or 3 weeks ago in my right. trade column, so it wasn't like a new thing in the, right. in the podcast. It's the one I threw out for him to evaluate. I think Gordon is a player who would make a lot of sense for the Grizzlies right now. I think the trade I proposed was the Anthony Melton and Jarrett Culver's expiring contract for Eric Gordon, which works contractually. I think from a Grizzlies perspective, you know, maybe you're selling low on Melton, but I just feel like Melton's getting squeezed relative to his spot in the rotation anyway, and he has not proven that you're going to be able to rely on him to create offense and playoff basketball. And I think Gordon would slot right in as a guy who can handle and shoot off the bench, not only in this coming up playoffs, but he's under contract again going into next season. So you can extend the value further either on the court next season or as a big expiring contract on the trade market. From Houston's perspective, I think in the absence of other offers, that's a deal I would do if I'm Houston. The question is, what are your other offers? I think that crosses the threshold for the Rockets, but there may be other offers that cross the threshold they prefer where things obviously get complicated. You can make up deals that make sense, but you may be competing against other teams who are also trying to make deals that make sense.
Hollinger leapt on it from the Houston perspective.
Yeah, he was a little more aggressive on that than if you poke around the NBA media, no one else has come up with that specific notion. There was a podcast I listened to yesterday that talked about, you know, Eric Gordon would make sense for Memphis, and they were suggesting Kyle Anderson and a first round pick, and it didn't even occur to them that Anthony Melton would be in the deal. I feel it's kind of obvious that Anthony Melton would be in that deal given the positions. There's a thing today somewhere I read about how teams, I think it was on the Ringer, suggesting teams should be willing to trade a first-round pick to get Eric Gordon. Well, would the Anthony Melton on his current contract be considered the equivalent of a first-round pick? I feel like yes. But these things are all debatable.
Right. In terms of the other need, the 3-4 shot-making, the two names that people talk about are Jeremy Grant and Harrison Barnes. Not only might they be too expensive, Jeremy Grant seems to be in tremendous demand, but the phrase that John Hollinger used to describe Jeremy Grant was too thirsty to fit necessarily with the Grizzlies. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'd written something to that effect in my trade column about how I think if you're trading for Jeremy Grant, you're not trading for the Detroit Jeremy Grant, who's averaging 20 points a game. You're trading for the Denver Jeremy Grant, who was, you know, the fifth, sixth guy in the middle of a rotation. That's the role he's going to fill again. He goes to a playoff team. And so to me, if I'm paying, I'm paying for that. I'm not paying for a 20-point-a-game guy. And then the flip side of that is how willing he is to accept, to slip back into that old role when he left it to begin with. My main thing is not the fear of his acceptance of that. My main thing is that the price tag is going to be the 20-point-a-game, the 20-point score price tag, and I'm not paying that price because that's not what I think I'm going to get.
It feels so. This is the week. I think All Star starters announced Thursday, and Ja has taken
our long national nightmare will be over because we can quit campaigning for Ja Morant to be an All Star.
Yes, I think we all
we can
do.
Move on to some other.
I don't think anyone is campaigning. I don't think anyone is worried anymore. I think we're just anticipating the celebration. Now, right. when Mark and Powell
have we figured out the parade route. For when John makes the All-Star team. We had a couple of days to nail down the parade route.
Mark and Pau tipped off to start the All-Star game, was Mark voted? How did Mark get to be the starter in that All-Star game?
I think he was voted starter. Yeah,
he was voted starter. Yeah.
I have not researched this, but I believe that is correct, yes.
It is funny. I don't recall a similar... Mark has to be an All-Star. Mark has to be an All-Star. I don't recall the parade, I guess is what
I'm
saying.
I don't remember Mark campaigning for his for himself, and then the teammates campaigning for him as vociferously as has been the case. But there has been this thing where it was funny. It was one of the games over the over this road trip, and it was not a local writer, so a little to be clear, but
right.
it was someone else who had popped into the Zoom. But I take partial blame for this because I wrote a column a week or two ago about Jaren Jackson, and the headline thing was about, you know, it's all defense future or whatever. We are just overly consumed with every, like, a little award. And, like, I felt like half the questions were about asking other players, you know, does so-and-so deserve to be a favorite for this award? Does so-and-so be a favorite for that award? I think we need to all just calm down about the awards, maybe.
Okay. But Thursday, our long national nightmare will be over. I think there's right. there's a TV show, right? They unveil them as part of a...
In 2015, Mark was voted the All-Star starter, and Powell was as well for the Bulls.
Yeah. Anyway.
So this will not be an unprecedented moment.
This will not be an unprecedented moment. No. Thanks very much. Appreciate it, Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.